This is Sam from the Masculine Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The following program contains sensitive content, including accounts of sexual abuse and suicide. Listener discretion is advised.
Previously on Lantern Rescue.
Is there a sense of desperation still on the ground in Afghanistan?
Yes, a lot of desperation, a lot of grief, because I came from Kabul. I was on the ground last, like, a couple days ago. Like, a lot of people, when you see to their faces, you can see that how sad they are, how grief they have in their hearts, and how desperate they are, because there's no food. I'm just crying when I'm there. They're innocent. They're so innocent that it makes me cry every street. And I don't know how God will manage it. I know it's only God, and God has the right people to help them.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
I know you'll be glad you tuned in today. We've got a sort of international report today with Lantern Rescue. So, Mark, we got stuff going on all over the world.
Hey, Robbie, it's good to be with you again. I know for our listeners, we're not a every week podcast because we are busy both stateside and internationally. And this year, honestly, as we head into 2022, you're going to get a little insight into how we are managing things from like a command center spot where Ren does that, where I do that, and others. And one of the ways that we've been able to accomplish as an organization is that we have operators, both U.S. and foreign operators, task forces that we've built now around the world. And we've mentioned this before, how exciting it is to have something sustainable that these people are working without us there. Now, you know, as I talk, we've got American operators in, you know, two countries right now. But today's show, we're going to talk about an operating team that is in Africa and doing great work. One of the ways that we control that is daily reporting and contacting. And I mean, if we're in the States, that involves video and FaceTiming and just a, you know, it's just a complete conversation all the time. Ren and I wanted to take time in this show and kind of give you an idea of some of the case reporting that we've gotten, just particularly out of Africa, and even something that's just a hard situation that we're involved in right now. Our team is in Africa. And so she's going to share a little bit about that one, and we'll take the show from there. Okay, Robbie? But, Ren, I'm just going to hand it over to you to talk about what Frank is involved in right now.
Yeah, sounds good. So the main case that we were talking about where there's kind of something tragic going on. What had happened in the last couple of days is our team in Africa had intercepted this man trying to cross a girl at the border, and it was pretty apparent that there was some type of unusual relationship between these two, and they started doing their questioning and talking about, you know, warning signs and figuring out what the relationship was, and it turned out that she was being sex trafficked by this man. So the way their justice system works in this particular country is they go in front of a judge pretty quickly to get official charges filed. So today when she was in getting the official charges filed, or I guess technically it would be yesterday because of time change, but recently when she was in getting these charges filed in front of the judge, she was standing there testifying, and she had been so badly physically abused that she had started to hemorrhage, bleed profusely, and collapsed in the courtroom. And she's in medical services now. But the trial and the prosecution of this man will be going forward, but there was quite an incident with that. And it just kind of shows, like, the obviously sex trafficking is in itself a grotesque and horrible thing, and there's just no care. They truly do not care about these victims. There's no services that's provided for them. They're not taken care of. They don't care whether they live or die. So that was really shown today.
Wow. And so clearly we can be praying for this poor person. Can you kind of share how you guys engage in that?
I could comment on that, and Remy too as well. But maybe it'd be good to take our listeners into that type of operation. So, yes, there are operations where we do operational planning, and we work at night, and there's undercover operations, and there's raids of nightclubs, and more of a tactical move. In this particular case of what Ren is describing, maybe we take our listeners into that situation. So we have a task force, a very large one, in that region of the world in Africa, and they are working portions of the border and then high traffic areas between major cities. They will be moving in different directions to keep smugglers and traffickers from knowing exactly where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing, you know. But so, you know, I don't want to give away too much, but they're moving in different places. When they position themselves there for a day, this would be a typical border crossing. Well, if anybody's traveled and they've seen, you know, border crossings, you can imagine the chaos and all that's happening there. And what our task force agents are trained to do is sometimes they lay low, sometimes they're uniformed, sometimes they're back from the border on either side, sometimes they're right at the point of crossing, but they are looking for the suspicious activity of someone who is carrying a minor across. And most often in these countries, that's in a vehicle, like a motorcycle, and many times on foot. And maybe as Ren has described some other cases in the past about this region of the world, sometimes those smugglers are working for a trafficker and they know they're going to get caught. So they'll tell the victim, the child, hey, say this or go across by yourself or tell them I'm your father or say that I'm your aunt, you know, all these kind of excuses, and they prepare their story. So our task force agents are looking for this, and they're working hard. They're not sitting in a nice office. They're working along streets, and they're working outside in the heat. And then when they see that, they're trained to intercept that vehicle safely. And that does take some tactical skill, and they set up. But the real skill that happens from there is the interrogation process. And so our key people there do a great job, and we're constantly helping them improve that. But they have to separate those people and begin the interrogation process between the adults and the minors. They've got to be savvy because they've got to speak multiple languages. They've got to know the region of the world. They've got to know what's happening in major cities around them. They've got to be able to make phone calls into those regions to confirm. They've got to be able to take cell phones from people. They've got to be able to look through those cell phones. They've got to be able to make, you know, calls and act like somebody else. You know, they've got to do all this because sometimes at this point, the victim is so scared to death, they are lying, you know, almost perfectly. Does that make sense, Robbie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they're lying because they're scared to death, or they believe they're smuggler and trafficker. They believe they are going to a job or an education or school when, you know, that's all not true. And so in that moment, our involvement is to determine the truth. And then to make, then to build the case and referral to our law enforcement that we've trained there and to, you know, what a department that kind of, it works with us, an agency that works with us, along that, that region of the world. So that's kind of our involvement. Now, you know, with this particular case that, Ren is talking about, you know, then our people are they're good and loving people. I mean, they get involved on everything. They end up, you know, if for Americans who understand social services and all those things, I mean, we end up, you know, helping the victim get to court. You know, sometimes we, you know, we provide for their needs and assist the social services in that country during this time of investigation. Excuse me. And so that's kind of how that operation in this case that we're talking about this morning, that's how that works. So, Robbie, it kind of gives people an idea, you know, when we talk about next week when we'll be able to talk about some operations elsewhere that are current. You know, they're more aggressive. Well, I don't know if the word's more aggressive. They're just, you know, more, they're more tactical in nature and they involve gear and a lot of things. This involves human intelligence. This involves people who are in the right place at the right time with the right knowledge and the right ability to intercept and to interrogate. And you know, that is a fruitful work. Literally every region of the world we go to, we could go to any place. And outside of working the trafficking rings that are in the capitals or the trafficking rings that are tied to, you know, foreigners, you could go to the border and I can almost guarantee you that you're going to get a high rate of interception and rescue because that's just a focal point. That's just what's happening around the world, you know?
Right. As they're crossing, you've got agents that are obviously trained to look for this and then respond in the situation. And then they have the connections in law enforcement, obviously, like you were just talking about in this case. I mean, the judge was involved almost immediately, right?
Yeah, and that's a lot different than justice in other places in the world. So that particular country, their prosecution moves really fast, and it's arguable whether that's a good thing or not. But yeah, they got that involved very quickly. And the main difference between our operation in a place like Africa and our operations in other places, like in Asia, is Africa's a reactionary team. They're responding to basically what comes to them and what they're observing from their posts. And other places, like our operation in Asia, is more of a proactive team. They're like going out and doing investigations in different areas, and they're more of a mobile team moving throughout the entire country that they're working in, where this team is more static in this particular area.
All right, so we got more coming up in just a minute with our international report, sort of an update. Well, we get a chance to speak with Ren and Mark. We'll be right back. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially.
The following program contains sensitive content, including accounts of sexual abuse and suicide. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Lantern Rescue and today's international report. And, you know, as we were talking about what's going on in Africa, Ren, the whole idea of, you know, quick justice and judgment and those kind of things, there's two sides of that coin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people get frustrated when justice takes kind of a while. And especially in America, a lot of people know, you know, court cases can take years. Criminal cases can take years to get through the justice system, especially depending on how complex it is. And while that is frustrating, there's a flip side where very quick justice isn't necessarily a good thing. You have to think of it from an investigatory perspective and a replication perspective. It's like when you were a kid and someone was trying to show you something and they did it really quick and you're like, well, but how did you do that? And they're like, oh, you just do this. And they skip all these steps because they've done it so much and you never learn. You're like, you're going so fast, I can't tell what you're doing. It's kind of similar. So when people are prosecuting so quickly, you know, there's convictions that only take from arrest to conviction is within 48 hours sometimes, 24 hours in this particular country. And the problem with that is then when the next team comes on or a new person comes on the team and they want to look through case files and they want to look, you know, talk about this prosecution, talk about the investigation. They're like, well, we arrested him and then the judge said he was guilty and that was it. And you're like, well, but why? You know, show me the reasons, show me how you knew, show me, and you can't necessarily. So, and that's also an issue with reporting to international organizations and international agencies that handle reporting like the trafficking in persons report and other agencies that are dealing with international justice in human trafficking. It's hard to explain to them why you convicted. And then it makes it more difficult for people to follow your footsteps and figure out, okay, well, this person, these were the warning signs that you picked up on, and your victim told you this before trial, and that's how you figured it out. So that's one reason that swift justice isn't necessarily a good thing. Another reason is, you know, plea deals and people turning on other people within their ring and making a deal based on information they'll give on other people is obviously a thing in criminal justice, and it can be very beneficial because sometimes we're catching a trafficker at the border, that this might be his first or second time trafficking someone, but he's working for this enormous ring. Now, if you're convicting him within a day, he has no incentive to flip on his boss. You know, you're, okay, well, I don't have an option. There's nothing that turning on my boss is going to do. I'm still getting convicted tomorrow, so, you know, I might as well stay loyal. Now, if you drag out the investigation a little bit longer and you're putting pressure on them, you're more likely to be able to get them to cooperate with you. You can start to break apart these chains at a higher level rather than just getting the low-level guys so quickly into prison, which they'll end up there. No one's going to walk free, don't get me wrong, but the sentences might be different based on their level of cooperation. But if you're not willing to communicate with them or have a longer investigation, there's no opportunity for them to cooperate. So you're not able to get to these higher level guys because there's no incentive for them to rat on them.
She's made a valid point that we see in every single country that they rush to make a conviction, and sometimes we're like, whoa, 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 wait, wait, there's bigger fish, but they just want to close it up, close the case, and say, hey, we had success. And Ren just made a tremendously valid point in the intelligence gathering of, you know, after this smuggler's captured and what we can do and what we can find out that sometimes we don't get to because they just want to prosecute that person as fast as they possibly can.
Right. And these countries that prosecute quickly, they're not doing it necessarily maliciously, although an argument can be made right. that they want to convict the traffickers and put them away quickly because maybe someone higher up is involved in that ring and they don't want that to get discovered through an investigation. But generally, you know, that is one reason that it could be going quickly. Another reason that's more common in third world countries is they live day to day. They live with what's immediately in front of their face, and they're just trying to figure out how to survive each day. A lot of them don't have that longer term vision of what that investigation could look like because they don't have that luxury that we do in the United States where we can sit back and think about things. They have to move quickly because they don't know if tomorrow is coming or what it's going to look like. And that's not something that they're consciously thinking about when they're doing these investigations, but it's more of like an innate thing that they've grown up around. So they're unaware that they're doing it, but they're kind of acting in this very quick reactionary mindset instead of sitting back, thinking it through, and trying to investigate further. So it can, you know, there's probably multiple reasons that these prosecutions go so quickly. Those are just two off the top of my head. But it's not necessarily, while people always ask us, you know, don't you just want to kill them? You know, as soon as you see a trafficker, they should be in jail, they should be killed, whatever. And I get the sentiment, trust us, we've seen some really horrific stuff and we felt the same way in the past. But the bigger picture and the more people you can help through these more lengthy investigations is what you have to try to stay focused on.
Yeah, and I, you know, what a wonderful thing that God's provided this experience to all these different countries because, you know, they turned you for training. And so obviously you're not just having the opportunity to train the operatives, but, you know, with your legal stuff now, Ren, you're able to give them, you know, information in their justice systems, right?
Yeah, we've helped to work on some penal codes in other countries, and we're ideally going to be providing some training to some attorney general prosecutors over the summer. But, you know, it's all just guidance. It's up to the countries. They have to make those choices, and they have to make those policy changes on their own. It's all just guidance and our perspective on it. But we definitely do try to influence it for the good. But at the end of the day, one of the reasons it sets us apart from other nonprofits is we're just giving the countries and the people the tools to help themselves. At the end of the day, we can't do it for them. They have to buy in and make that choice on their own. So we do advise and we give them the tools to do this and the reasons why we think this is a good alternative. But at the end of the day, it's up to them.
Yeah, and the good news is we can pray along those lines that these countries will adopt this wisdom. And that what an opportunity that it is for us to obviously see all the fruit of that. So have you got some more updates for us, Mark?
I think following up with what Ren was just talking about, the flip side is that we do have some countries whose criminal justice system is a duplication of the U.S. They're further, you know, down the road. But then sometimes we have the flip side problem is that they're trying to do everything so right and so correct that things do not move. Prosecution doesn't move forward. Or, you know, it lends itself to corruption because things are moving so slow. you know, we recently had in one country, we had 17 girls, foreign girls, in a Spanish country in a house that was being represented as for sale. And one of our undercover agents went to that house, presented himself as a buyer of the home, went in, discovered these females, these young females in the home, heard one of them say, I hope when he buys the house, he buys us too. And so he realized immediately, okay, wait, this is a holding place for girls who are trafficked. So, you know, he built the case and presented it to the prosecutor, the local prosecutor, who continued to say, well, I need this, I need that, and, you know, continued to nitpick what he needed to bring at a level that allowed her to contact the owner of the home and say, hey, they're building a case against this. You better get rid of those girls. So that delay in prosecution or the ability for them to say, well, no, you don't have enough for us, you don't have enough for us, it really slowed it all down. And then the 17 girls disappeared and the house was, you know, just basically closed down, right? So, you know, there are those things. Also, when you get into a country that has, you know, laws in place and its penal code, things like entrapment become an issue, sovereignty becomes an issue, the transfer of information. You know, when it comes to entrapment, this is one we run into all the time in countries that have a better judicial system, and I understand it. But we did have one situation where we had a team undercover, and they knew there were minor girls for sale in this facility, and they were being offered girls, but one of the undercover agents said, well, do you have any minor girls? Well, at that point, that whole case is thrown out. Because now he introduced the need for minors, and that would be considered entrapment. He rather would have to say, no, I don't want any of these girls. I can get that in America. What else do you have? And then the moment the trafficker says, oh, well, I've got some young girls, minor girls, now it's been introduced, and it's not entrapment. So, you know, you have those kind of situations. And what I admire of my team and all of us is we're trying to understand all countries at all levels, their judicial system and how it's working and what we can and can't do, you know? And so I know this is Christian talk and people probably listen in today. They're going, what is this on the wrong station? Excuse me. But it is really important that those who are, you know, concerned about that, they hear this show and understand the spectrum that we're working in.
And one of the things that you made a comment to me the other day when we were talking, Mark, was that you don't want to create a need where these people, you know, they'll go out and find what you ask for in those kind of situations. So actually, some of those laws are pretty good.
Yeah. If you're selling heroin, you know, and somebody comes up and says, I don't want heroin, I want crack, and you don't have it, you'll find it, right? So, I mean, we're very careful that we don't ever do that. You know, we have to have the right intelligence. We're not going to just poke in an area and go, hey, you know, can we have some minor girls? Because trust me, that smuggler, he will go get minor girls. I mean, he'll probably go get his niece and his cousins and grab some girls from who knows where. And now you've created the problem. And I've seen some organizations do that to a fault, you know, and they shouldn't do that. So we don't do that. And, you know, that just comes down to good undercover work and good intelligence.
So, Ren, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, really what I would just finish that up with is the laws in other countries are different, and we're not saying that any are better or worse than ours. Entrapment might mean something different in another country. You know, when we start working with other law enforcement agencies and prosecutors, I ask them for an English copy of their rules of criminal procedure, the rules of evidence, and then any penal codes they have that are relevant to our work. So we're, you know, the laws in other countries are different. Prosecutions look different in other countries. Jails are very different in other countries. And we're not saying any are better or worse, but it is another dynamic of the work that we're in. It's not only are we trying to train them tactically and we're trying to facilitate the aftercare, we're trying to help with this prosecutorial process, and we're trying to do it correctly from their point of view, not just bringing our American point, well, this is how it works in America, do it this way. We're trying to understand their laws, understand their rules, understand their culture, and help them out that way without causing a detriment like Mark was talking about. So that's really all I would add to that.
Yeah, and I was... Actually, as I was praying about all this last night, Mark, I was thinking, how amazing is it from my perspective that you guys are able to do so much the right way, that you work to create a legal way to get people from one place to another place, to create a legal way for people to get caught, and then obviously, you know, create a situation where you go after the bigger fish on an international level on all sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, God continues to put that team together. It always fascinates me that he cares so much about those who are oppressed and those victims and those girls and boys, that he would take a group of people such as us, and, you know, we'd all probably say we're hodgepodge here and there, you know, good at a lot of things, not great at any one thing, and God would put us all together and continue to add the right people and continue to expand even us as individuals, you know, and it is definitely a God thing.
Yeah, so do you have sort of a finishing update for us, as we only have a couple of minutes left?
Yeah, I mean, I'll allude to, we've got some fantastic shows coming up. Next week, we're participating, Lantern is participating in a coalition of some really key players around the world in this fight to counter trafficking. And we're honored to be invited to a table to create this coalition. And out of that, we're going to have some great conversations with different folks that we're going to include on the show and tell you a little bit about some really good stuff that's happening in America, and then how that will be supporting us overseas and how excited we are about that. So I tell you what, I think the next, you know, we might do a couple of shows next week out of that. So I think the next, you know, three or four shows, I just encourage our listeners, if you don't have our podcast, follow our podcast, tell us about it, and keep supporting us.
Yeah, there are intense prayer needs as we're hearing more and more about what's going on. And 2022 really seems to be a year that we need to be praying, right, guys?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you again for this update, and we'll look forward to all this coming. Thanks.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you.
This is the Truth Network.